Please turn with me to the first letter to Timothy, chapter 3. First letter to Timothy, chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. We went partway through this verse last time. To recap, without controversy, that is, confessedly, admittedly, great is the mystery of godliness. The word great means weighty and vast, and we have an echo of that in the book of Job, chapter 11. Job, chapter 11. Zophar, one of the friends of Job, is speaking to him and exhorting him. Beginning at verse 7, Job 11, beginning at verse 7. Can you search out the deep things of God? Can you find out the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than heaven. What can you do? Deeper than Sheol. What can you know? Their measure is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. Or again in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 to 36. Romans 11, beginning at verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out! For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, the mystery of God being manifest in the flesh. One hymn puts it well. Our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. How is it possible for the infinite, eternal, unsearchable God to be reduced to a human body? And yet this is the greatest mystery, that in all eternity that this indeed took place. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. We saw last time that God manifested himself to his people long before he came to Bethlehem as the son of Mary. We looked at the book of Genesis. We saw in chapter 16 how he met Hagar and how Hagar recognized in the angel or the man that spoke to her God himself. She called the name of the place Be'er Lachai Ro'i. That means the well of him that lives and sees me. Thou, God, seest me. In chapter 18 of Genesis, God meets Abraham, and Abraham communes with him and prays to him and seeks his blessing and his mercy for any righteous people that might be found in Sodom and Gomorrah. In chapter 32 of Genesis, we saw last time how God, in the form of a man, wrestled with Jacob, and how he blessed him after that contest that lasted all night. In Exodus chapter 24, we saw God appearing to his people Israel at the time he inaugurated the first covenant. We read about it in Exodus 24, that the elders of Israel 70 of them, together with Aaron and his two sons. And Moses, they all saw the God of Israel, and we read of him having hands and feet at any rate. Let's look at it in Exodus 24. Exodus 24, verse 9. Then Moses went up, also Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and it was like the very heavens in its clarity. But on the nobles of the children of Israel he did not lay their hand. So they saw God, and they ate and drank. God was manifest in the flesh in many ways prior to his coming as the babe born in Bethlehem. Previews of his coming. Then we go on to the book of Joshua, chapter 5. Again we see God appearing to Joshua in the form of the captain of the Lord's host. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 to 15. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped, and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. No angel accepts worship. The one that accepted worship from Joshua was God himself in the form of the captain of the Lord's army. The fact that he told Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy," was what he said to Moses at the burning bush. "Take your shoe off your foot, the place where you stand is holy." That's because God was there. And so we see God manifest in the flesh to his people. Then we go on to the book of Judges, chapter 6. The book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 11. Here he is again, God in the form of an angel. He's called here the angel of Jehovah, the angel of the Lord. Judges chapter 6, verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" The one described in verse 11 as the angel of the Lord is now openly declared to be the Lord himself in verse 14. Then again, when Joshua offered a sacrifice to God, we read in verse 22 of the same chapter, "Then Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, 'Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face.' Then the Lord said to him, 'Peace be with you, do not fear, you shall not die.'" God spoke to Gideon from heaven after he had disappeared. Gideon realized that he'd been face to face with God himself. We read about Moses himself also, that God spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. And later on in the book of Numbers, we read about Moses, that God said of him, "When I appeared to prophets, I appeared in the form of a vision." Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. Verse 6. Numbers 12, verse 6. "Then he," that is the Lord, "said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision, and I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" Here God says about Moses that he sees the form of the Lord, and he spoke with him face to face. God was manifest in the flesh to Moses, to Gideon, and again in chapter 13 of Judges to the future parents of Samson. Judges 13, verse 2 and 3. "Now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, 'Indeed now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son.' She went to her husband with the news, and her husband Manoah prayed that the angel of God would come back, and he did. Verse 17. "Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'What is your name, that when your words come to pass, we may honor you?' And the angel of the Lord said to him, 'Why do you ask my name, seeing it is Wonderful?' And we know from the prophet Isaiah that the name Wonderful was one of the titles of the Messiah. Chapter 9 of Isaiah, verse 6. "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Here's a hint of it when the angel of the Lord said to Samson's future father, "Why do you ask my name, seeing it is Wonderful?" Well, Manoah presented a sacrifice, and when the angel of the Lord, verse 20, "As the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, it happened that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord appeared no more, then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord, and Manoah said to his wife, 'We shall surely die, because we have seen God.'" The one that appeared as the angel of the Lord was God himself in the form of an angel, or the form of a messenger. So when we read in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh long before he appeared as the babe of Bethlehem. He appeared to his people in Old Testament times. He manifested himself to them as a man or as an angel or as the angel of the Lord. Ezekiel had a vision of him. We read about it in Ezekiel the prophet, chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. He says in verse 1, "Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Kebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God." He He describes what he saw first of all. Verse 4, a whirlwind with fire in it. And then out of the midst of the whirlwind, four angelic creatures and a chariot. And then verse 22, the likeness of the firmament above the heads of the living creatures was like the color of an awesome crystal stretched out over their heads. And under the firmament, their wings spread out straight, one toward another. Verse 26, and above the firmament over their heads was the likeness of a throne in appearance like a sapphire stone. On the likeness of this throne was a likeness with the appearance of a man high above it. And from the appearance of his waist and upward, I saw as it were the color of amber with the appearance of fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his waist and downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire with brightness all around. Like the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the brightness all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. So when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one speaking. He saw the God of Israel on his throne in glory. Just as Isaiah says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, his glory filled the temple. So again in the book of Daniel, chapter 3, that famous incident where the three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were thrown into the fiery furnace because they would not worship Nebuchadnezzar's idol. Daniel chapter 3, verse 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. He was God, the fourth man. There was those three men, those Hebrew men, and with them was a fourth man of whom Nebuchadnezzar says, the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Here's God appearing to his people long before Bethlehem to get them used to the idea that their God was going to appear to them in human form. In Romans, we come to the Brit Chadasha, and we come to Romans chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. Romans 8, verse 3 and 4. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. God sent his own Son, not in sinful flesh, but in the likeness of it, apparently like it, and yet without sin, as we have it again in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Messiah, Yeshua, God the Son, became man for our redemption. Once more in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. He partook of flesh and blood, just as the children were partakers of flesh and blood. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. We come back to our text and we read six things about God here. And what is said of him here is said of God in the person of his Son. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. 1. God was manifested in the flesh. 2. Justified in the Spirit. 3. Seen by angels. 4. Preached among the Gentiles. 5. Believed on in the world. And 6. Received up in glory. All these are great truths. He was manifested, in the flesh. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Beginning at verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, or concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Yeshua Mashiach. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. What John writes here might well have been put into the mouth of the prophets before him, and those holy men of God, holy women of God also, who saw God as a man long before his birth in Bethlehem. In the first letter of Peter, chapter 1, verse 18 through 21. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Messiah, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Here he is manifested in the flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In Romans chapter 1, we have the same truth again, God manifest in the flesh. It is a theme that is again and again repeated throughout the Holy Scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation. I'll read Romans 1 from verse 1 to 4. Shaul, a servant of Yeshua Mashiach, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, Yeshua Mashiach our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. There he is in verse 3, declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. But he was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. Concerning his physical descent, his ancestor was David. God was manifested in the flesh. Remember that verse we looked at from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's the first thing that was said about him in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. The next thing was, God was manifested in the flesh, God was justified in the Spirit. That is, he was vindicated in the Spirit. Let's go back to Isaiah the prophet to see what this means. Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. Verses 8 and 9. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. The speaker is the one who says, here in verse 3 onwards of Isaiah 50, I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out their beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. This is the Redeemer, the Messiah, in his human nature, who speaks about his back being given to those who struck him, and his cheeks to those who plucked out his beard. These are the sufferings of Messiah, and of him we read this, verse 8, he is near who justifies me, who will contend with me. That's what the scripture means here in Timothy. God was manifested in the flesh, in the person of Yeshua. He was justified in the Spirit. Vindicated in the Spirit. Thirdly, seen by angels. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels. What is the significance of this fact that God was seen by angels? They had never seen him in human form before. They had never seen him born into time and space, into our world. This was something new to the angels of heaven, and therefore it is a great and a glorious mystery to them as well as to us. Seen, he appeared in human form. Behold, says Isaiah in chapter 7, verse 14, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Or as God puts it in the prophet Zechariah, behold the man whose name is the branch. He shall bear the glory. He shall be a priest upon his throne. Messiah is our heavenly royal high priest. He appeared in human form. So that's why it is a great mystery, even to angels, for them to see their God lay aside his glory and appear as a helpless baby in the arms of his mother, Miriam. That was a glorious mystery. The next, we read about angels that they saw him at his birth. They saw him when he was being tempted in the desert. Angels came and ministered to him after 40 days of his temptation. Scene of angels. In Luke chapter 22, they see him in a different way. Luke 22, verse 41. Speaking about our Lord Yeshua, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. There the angel saw him with wonder, sweating great drops of blood in his agony as he faced what belonged to us, the condemnation of God and the pains of hell, seen by angels. Peter says, these things the angels desire to look into. They see him reflected in his ministry to his people. That's the third thing said about him. The fourth thing was that God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, heralded among the Gentiles. God had said to his Messiah, I will send you. Let's look at it in Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah 49. Here's the prophecy of Messiah being heralded to the nations. Isaiah 49, beginning at verse 5. And now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel is gathered to him, for I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, their Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhors, to the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise. Princes also shall worship because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, and he has chosen you. And God goes on to say that he is also going to be a covenant with the people of Israel. So that's the fourth thing. God was manifested in the flesh, preached among the Gentiles. When the Lord Yeshua was about to ascend to heaven, he said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. That's a great mystery. His apostles didn't at first understand this or believe it when Peter was sent to Cornelius to preach to them. When he came back to Jerusalem, they argued with him. They debated with him. They said, how could you do such a thing, to go into Gentiles, speak with them, eat with them, live with them? Our religion doesn't allow it. And Peter had to show them that God had opened the door wide for all the nations of the world to participate in his great and glorious salvation through Messiah, who for that to happen appeared in human form in order to die in our behalf and in behalf of all men. Preached among the Gentiles. The fifth thing was He was believed on in the world. He was believed on in the world, not by the world. The world did not believe in him. He came unto the world, and the world knew him not. But there were those in the world, here and there, one and two, ones and in their ones and twos, who believed in him in spite of the attitude of the world as a whole. And this is what is being meant here. God said, from the rising of the sun to the setting thereof, my name shall be great among the nations, believed on in the world. And lastly, received up in glory, taken up again. Here is his ascension being spoken of. The same God who came down in order to die assumed his glory again when he was received up into heaven. And of this we have echoes in the Psalms and in the prophets. Psalm 24, first of all. Psalm 24, verse 7 to 10. This is an ascension psalm. This psalm speaks of the ascension of the Messiah after he had defeated him that had the power of death and took the keys of death and of hell from him. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and lift them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. In the words of the letter to the Colossians, he spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in his cross. This is speaking of the Messiah who defeated the enemy of our souls and who ascended, and the heavenly gates are bidden to open to allow him to re-enter heaven from which he had descended to this world. Again in Psalm 47, another prophecy of the ascended Messiah. Psalm 47, verse 5 through 7. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. Here he is received up in glory. Or again in Psalm 68, verse 18. Psalm 68, verse 18, a verse that is quoted in the letter to the Ephesians. You have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts among men, even among the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there. He led captivity captive. By that is meant those three great evil powers that hold us captive had been captivated by him. Sin, Satan, and death. Those three great powers, sin, Satan, and death. Messiah conquered all three of them. He conquered sin, he conquered Satan, he conquered death in behalf of his believing people. And now he has received gifts for men, that is, the gift of eternal salvation, the blessings that we enjoy from day to day. The psalm goes on to say, verse 19, blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Selah, think of it. The word Selah means think of it, or stop and think. Consider what has just been said. Received up in glory. That's how the Lord Yeshua ascended to heaven. While he lifted up his hands in blessing, a cloud received him out of their sight on the Mount of Olives. So we come back to our six steps by which Messiah resumed his place in glory and of the throne, these six declarations are like the six steps to the throne of Solomon. When Solomon built a throne, he built six steps leading up to the throne on which he sat. And these steps are symbolic of the six stages by which Messiah resumed his glory. He was manifested in the flesh, that's the first step. He was justified in the spirit, that's the second step. He was seen by angels, that's the third. He was preached among the Gentiles, that's the fourth. He was received on in the world, that's the fifth step. And finally received up in glory, and then we read, having put away our sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Just as Solomon walked up those six steps in order to sit on his throne, so Messiah, who is the greater than Solomon, and the one of whom Solomon was a type, ascended those six steps to the throne. We also get an echo of that in Isaiah chapter 11, and with this we must close. Isaiah chapter 11. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, fear of the Lord. Many of these adjectives are also made nouns. We read about him that he is counselor, that his name is Mighty God. Well, there we are. That 16th verse in chapter 3 of Timothy was full of good things for us to meditate on and to learn from. We pray that God will bless his word to our hearts. We just close with a word of blessing. We thank you, loving Father, for such a glorious and eternal redemption. We thank you for him whom we love. We have not seen him, but we love him. And though we now see him not, yet believing we rejoice. May we rejoice in this coming year with joy unspeakable and full of glory. May we receive the salvation of our souls through him. We pray in his name, in the name of our Lord Yeshua. Amen.